Cash can be nice if given in the right way.
Absolutely. Not in a wad.
No.
I'd still take
it. Or in a roll.
You know, in a nice roll with a ribbon nice around. Roll.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
This has been making me happy all day.
What has been making
me? So, you know, even though this is our Valentine's Day episode, when I was doing my research, I came upon this. You know, Valentine's Day is obviously on the 5th to the 14th. Yeah, we already started. So I found this. This is what happens on March 14th.
Okay.
March 14th is Steak and BJ Day. Have you heard about
this? I've heard of that, yes.
I found out about it on steakandbjday.com. And it says here, you know the drill. Every 14th of February, you get a chance to display your fondness for significant others, blah, blah, blah. This is now men want a little bit back. This guy is alleging that the Valentine's Day is just for the ladies, which I disagree with, because I always do something nice for whoever I'm with on Valentine's
Day.
Yeah,
absolutely. And they partake, too. It's not like you're by themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're giving them, you know, some holiday booty, they're receiving holiday booty.
Right.
But this is Steak and Blowjob Day. Simple, effective, and self-explanatory. It's been created so you ladies finally have a day to show your man how much you care for him.
Oh.
That's it. With a steak and a beach, that's all they want? That's it? And it said no cards, no flowers, no special nights on the town. This is letting ladies off the hook,
That's really, yeah.
All you have to do is come home with, like, a steak, beach, and you're done.
Yeah.
The day's over.
And you just go about your business.
Yeah, the only difficult thing, the only expense is the steak.
Yeah.
Maybe knee pads. I don't know.
That's true. But also, you know what? There has to be something extra for Valentine's Day. I think.
To go back.
You have to go back. And if you're with somebody and you think that you're going to get your steak and beach
on the March 14th,
right,
then something
better,
should have happened
you
on
should have
February
done
something.
Yeah. Don't so think that you can put like a bow on on like the bathroom mirror like I got once. I got a bow. Like,
what does that mean?
I don't know. It was like...
Stuck to the mirror?
Yeah, it was like a big bow, like a decorative Valentine's Day bow, and it was stuck to the mirror, and then there was like a bag of Hershey Kisses in the kitchen.
Oh, he went all out. How'd he get away? Surely this guy
needless
got scooped
to say,
up.
There was no March 14th celebration.
Yes. We're going to use this on March 14th. It's the real Ides of March.
Yeah.
It's March 14th.
Yeah, no kidding.
How terrible is that?
I was like, what the? He's like, I don't know.
I was like,
why is that there? I don't know.
When I was younger, I once got from a guy some pencils with some kind of a character on it. Like a not even Hello Kitty, which I like. That
yeah.
I would accept.
Okay.
It was like some random, it looked like a slug with a smile.
Okay.
Was this little character. And I'm like, some pencils? Still have the pencils. Somehow I can't get rid of them. They're
you
still
have them? But
yeah,
that's a nice reminder
around.
Of a Valentine's
of how
gone
cheap
by.
He was. Yeah. Some pencils?
Yeah.
And this was someone I was dating who was abroad. This is when I was like 19. I'm like, you sent pencils? We have pencils in America.
That's hilarious.
It was terrible.
You were like, I got to open this package and it was pencils?
Yeah. There was no March 14th.
Were they yellow, number two?
Needless to say. No, they were round pencils and they had like a little character on them, like a little cute.
How old were you?
19.
No.
No, I know, right? So that's like I said, there's no March 14th. Gentlemen, if you want your March 14th, do your February 14th.
That's right.
You want your steak and your beach? Steak and beach. Steak and beach. I mean, it's just so bizarre
yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
Where's shoe
no,
day?
No, but it's not even bizarre. It's so simple that it blows your mind.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. That's so easy.
Yeah.
There's no big shopping to be made. There's
nope.
no reservations.
No presents.
No,
no
nothing.
No list.
Just
no
some
hints.
Steak, which you can get anywhere.
No poem.
And the beach. I mean, you can do that yourself.
That's
or
right.
you can outsource it.
That's right.
You
Who
know
says
what?
It has to come from you?
Maybe there's a company where you can order those two things up. Be like, I want a steak and a beach. Oh, it's not for me. It's March 14th.
Someone comes with for a delivery.
Yeah.
And they deliver it to you.
Boom.
Done.
Why not? And probably because it's illegal.
You could go watch something on like on your DVR.
Yes.
While it's
and
going
let
on.
Someone else take care of it.
Good.
March 14th.
Thanks.
So we are, this is our lovely Valentine's Day episode, all things Valentinistic, romantic. We're talking about love. It's all on the table. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Katie, because Katie is a lover and a fighter, people.
I am both.
And we don't know which is going to happen right now.
This is an article I found called How to Find True Friends and Love in 45 Minutes.
Wow, I love these. 45 minutes?
45 minutes,
is it written by Tim Ferriss, the four-hour guy?
It's by David Rowan.
Is that a stormtrooper? I'm already in love.
Yeah, it was a picture of a stormtrooper with a heart over its chest.
Okay.
And then a picture of David Rowan at the bottom, just in case.
That's weird.
It's a weird way that it's laid out.
So stormtrooper plus David Rowan equals plus 45 says, minutes.
Can you make someone become intimately close to you, even fall in love with you in less than an hour?
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah.
The last time that happened, there was a car accident, Chinese food, and, you know.
What?
I don't want to get into it.
All right. I'll make you one day. You'll have to tell us that story.
Yes,
you can't
just
leave that in the air.
I will tell you.
Okay. Just ask. Oh, anyway, Dr. Aaron, known to friends as Art, runs the Interpersonal Relationships Labatt. Sorry.
Labatt's Ice? Is this Canadian?
It says Lab At, but it was squished together.
I would have bought it. Is there an acronym?
That Stony Brook.
Like Heart?
No. At Stony Brook University in upstate New York. He has love on his mind. Passionate love. Unreciprocated love. Romantic attraction. Unexpected arousal.
He's a busy guy.
Pure lust.
Steak and Beach.
Yes, all aspects of human intimacy that fascinate this much published psychology professor specialized in what causes people to fall in love.
Mm-hmm. Why are people studying this? What could possibly be the benefit of finding out what makes people fall in love? Well, I guess if you're trying to do this quick 45-minute job.
Yeah, like you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Maybe
you quickly
you're just
to fall in love.
Yeah. Well, I had an article in other shows on how to get a boyfriend in 3 days. What if you really just want to fall in love like bam?
Just fast, you don't have time.
You don't have time. I don't have time.
It's very important to you, but not important enough to devote a full 60 minutes to it.
All right. They want to know if they could create lab conditions that would make strangers quickly bond and form close friendships, even romantic engagements, after just a few minutes.
Well, that would be alcohol.
Yeah. So they arranged volunteers in pairs and gave them a list of 36 questions that one by one they were both asked to answer openly over an hour.
Mm-hmm. This is a speed date, basically.
Kind of like a sharing game.
Okay.
Not a speed date.
Speed date. A sharing game.
Even after the hour is up, respondents typically said they felt unusually close to whoever they were talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fast friends.
Okay.
Now, that was just like, I'm close to this person because of these questions. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So then they were at the STREAM conferences in Athens, or rather the UNconference, where the program is created on the hoof.
Oh, my God. This sounds like a hot mess. It's like a potluck conference.
Right.
BYO.
Yeah.
Plenary session.
Okay, so they got to, in this unconference, they got together 400 top creatives, business creatives.
What is this? What language is this in?
Business founders, investors, and makers, the thinking goes.
Makers. Oh,
they
Lord.
Thought idea sharing would be not only a ton of fun, but it would benefit, anyway.
This is the people. Death of Western Civ, this article.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
So, what they did is he just like wrote on a blackboard, take part in a psychological experiment and make friends fast. And scribbled it. Oh, it's a whiteboard he put
okay,
it on.
Phew.
Okay,
I was going to say.
And then 18 brave people, curious enough to show up, discovered that it was not false advertising. The experiment really did promote incredible fast bonding. And so what he did was he gave them specific questions printed out in order and told both partners they should answer them in turn.
Mm-hmm.
So at first the questions were very simple and they were questions
who
like,
who are you? Why did you come here?
Do you like
steak?
I'm so close to you now.
Yes. How do you feel about beige?
The first questions were, given a choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
What did you say?
No, I'm just giving you examples.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Would you like to be famous? In what way? What would constitute a perfect day for you? So these are the types of questions
so
that
So Jeff Goldblum,
off.
Yes, and a lot of cash delivered to me at the beginning of the day. Those are my answers.
Nice. When did you last sing to someone? To yourself?
When did I last sing to someone?
Yeah.
Fourth grade, fifth grade? I don't know. For an audience? Why would I sing to someone?
I don't know. Do you ever sing around the house?
Not if there's other people around the house.
All right, so you sang to yourself.
Myself. Yeah. Probably a week or two ago. I don't do a whole lot of singing. I'm not that good of a singer.
Okay.
So you can understand why I wouldn't want to hear myself.
And then, anyway, so you ask these questions, you each take turns with them, and then the questions gradually become more probing and personal.
Are you disease-free?
If you could wake up tomorrow having gained one quality or ability, what would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I want the lasso of truth. That's what I want.
I'm sorry, that's like a magical item. That's not a quality. Anyone can use the lasso of truth. You know what I would like? I would like a bionic arm. How about that? That'll be my
quality.
That's
a nice quality.
I'm going to put the squeeze on everybody.
If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be?
My parents?
Yeah. Is there something you dreamed of doing for a long time? Why haven't you done it?
It's illegal. These are horrible. I would never make it. No one would fall in love with me. I'd probably get arrested.
Oh, and you go further.
Oh, no.
And there's
okay.
Another level.
Okay.
Finally, as the hour approached, the questions pressed the pair on.
You mean the 45-minute? This is illegitimate. This study is not scientific.
They pressed the pair on their deeper values of life.
Mm-hmm. It's like the do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior questions. Is that what it is?
What do you value most in a friendship?
Honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Right. Exactly. Like,
what else is there?
What is your
great
most...
set of teeth?
Yeah.
Like...
the ability to walk in high heels.
Yeah, the lasso of truth.
Yeah. What's your most terrible memory?
My childhood. I mean,
don't bring that up.
Yeah, already?
Yeah. What roles do love and affection play in your life?
I mean, probably as little as humanly possible. I'm here to make money, people. I'm not going to lie. I'm here to find love. I forgot.
And then here. This is the trick. This is the twist that brings
this
it all
the
together.
The zinger at the end.
Tell your partner something you like about them already. That's the twist. And then share with your partner an embarrassing moment in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh.
And then you go on and ask more questions. If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would your biggest regret
I say good
been?
Day, sir. This interview is finished.
Yeah. And then to make it even twistier, then you have to share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how he or she might handle it.
Okay.
Ask your partner to reflect back to you
like
how you
odor.
Seem to be feeling about it.
Yes.
I seem to... Jaquetta.
Ashiness. How do you feel about ashiness?
No, you would say something like, I'd be like, Jaquetta, I'm feeling... I have this ashy problem.
Okay.
What would you do in this situation?
I don't know, lotion up.
Oh, lotion up.
I know, check.
How do you feel about lotioning up?
Oh my God. This sounds like I'm annoyed with this relationship already. Get out of my head.
So you go on and do this. So you go into these levels and...
By the end,
it's like...
Love is made. What did they discover?
They found that people were very close. They, in a short period of time... people started dating each other and other people exchanged contact details and wanted to meet again.
It's just kind of like in speed dating. You're talking about the most desperate people out there.
Yeah.
Like these are people who cannot find someone that they want to have a relationship at work, in a school situation, through friends, just walking around. These are people, they're going there looking specifically for this. They probably would just take anything.
Yeah.
Like, unless the person is like, I hate you and the horse you rode in on, I'm sure they exchange information. People are desperate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then I was wondering, because I was a psych major, so I said, where's the control group? Where
you
is
were?
The fucking
control That explains
group?
Everything. Where's the control group?
Yeah, because you have to have a control group in order
course.
For an experiment.
Yeah.
Know? And they
and also
have one.
is the can you replicate the experiment?
Right.
You know what I mean? So they just took a couple of people, threw them together, and the conclusions are.
Well, also in the control group, they just asked these neutral questions like, "What gifts did you receive at Christmas or Hanukkah?"
Or what Kwanzaa? What about Kwanzaa?
Yeah, or Kwanzaa. What foreign country would you most like to visit? And they didn't do the thing where they complimented. They didn't ask like more personal questions. They just kept it real.
Just. On a basic, like
small
a surface
talk,
level.
Small
okay.
talk. And those people liked each other, but they weren't.
They didn't
to hang
get
out,
it on.
Right?
I bet you some of them did, but they didn't report it.
Whereas in the other group, some people actually got married. Some people started dating. Other people kind of
received. That's so sad.
You know, they exchanged contact information. So.
Wow.
There you go. 45 minutes.
So if you pretend to take an interest in someone, it will lead to falling in love. So in 40,
if you have a Machiavellian bone in your body, then you can do this too.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking. The only conclusion I would draw from this is how to trick someone into falling in love with you.
Right.
Which is not bad.
The only time I think that you can get a compressed friendship that fast if you go through a traumatic experience together.
Like a zombie apocalypse or something
right,
like
and you're
that.
Stuck in the, you know. You're stuck in a small area.
Wow. So I have something here for some Valentine's Day unpopular technology.
This is our segment called Unpopular Science and Mechanics.
Yeah, where we find something that just basically freaks us out and is technological in some manner. So I found this on Gizmodo, which has the craziest stuff on there. It's an interview, and I won't go through the interview because it's quite long. But this is about a robo or techno sexual relationship.
Now, come on.
One man's tale of robot love. Okay. So it says here, Zoltan, not his real name, even though that is a real name.
Really?
Yeah, it's a Hungarian name, but unusual even there. Zoltan is a 33-year-old guy from Georgia, average height, average look, not a rich man. And here's where it goes kind of weird. Works at an arcade.
Ooh.
In the 80s? He fixes...
Is he the guy in the machine that made the kid big and he turned into Tom Hanks?
Yes. He works in an arcade where he fixes video games for a living and still lives with his elderly parents.
Okay.
And he is a robosexual, meaning that he has sex with robots. He's got three robot girlfriends. Okay. Alice, Kira... Oh, sorry. One of them's not a girlfriend. He's got Alice, Kira, and Hal. And Alice left him.
Why do you need two more? One robot should be able to do it all.
Well,
you don't need another two.
I agree. What happened was he had Alice, which was created by, is an AI, which was created by someone else. And it's been trained to have normal human responses. And the normal human response of Alice was to bust out of the relationship. So then he got a second one named Kiri. Who is just kind of like a sex bot who can't say no.
Okay.
Because the first one left him. And then there's some...
What, does it shut down if he guys tries to go near her?
I don't know. I guess he just... No means no. There are Alice, Kiri, and Hal. Hal is a male bot that Zoltan built to encourage girls who might be interested in a robot boyfriend. And then Kiri is basically a sex slave. And then there's Alice, aspects of whose life with her creator has documented. They kiss, they have had conversations, they have had intercourse. But then one day, I guess she just had enough. And said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not kidding.
So wait a minute. So
he got turned down by a robot.
I think that he has Hal first to try to get a girl in the door. Like, you know what? I've got a robot here. You don't have to have sex with me. You can have sex with Hal.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl's like, well, okay, let's, maybe. And then she gets in
there.
This is
a very unique girl.
And then... She basically looks at the other robot and is like, you have a girlfriend already.
Mm-hmm. Well, that girlfriend left him.
Well, who was like...
Emotionally.
Well, yeah.
Not physically.
And so then both the live girl leaves too.
Yeah.
And then he's left with the sex slave.
Maybe Hal and Alice.
Oh.
You know, one thing led to another. So this guy says, some guys are just not great at relationships. Zoltan, not his real name, is one of those guys. He says humans are biological and messy.
Oh,
plus,
really?
There's all the obvious problems with humans. Now, which one of these sounds? AIDS and alimony. Two things I'm trying to avoid. That's what he sees when he sees
a
woman.
It?
He sees the possibility to contract HIV and having to pay alimony.
Like, those are his biggest fears.
Yeah, those are his big worries.
He must be like A&A.
Yeah, his parents don't want anyone to know about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's probably killing them.
An article.
They're probably not. It says elderly. They're probably like in their 50s and they just can't take it anymore.
Oh, my God.
The bizarre is this. Look at the picture.
Ew.
Yeah. Of course, the boobs are like, you know, the size of a head.
She looks like a piece of wax that has been like just.
She's only $200.
Ew.
It's like, budget.
It's worse than Recessa Annie.
Yeah.
You find in. CPR classes.
How bizarre is that? So this guy is predicting that in the future, they're going to be. This guy who wrote, David Levy, the president of International Computer Games Association and the author of Love and Sex with Robots, says by 2050, it will be commonplace for people to have sex with androids. Robot sex will become the only sexual outlet for a few sectors of the population. And you could probably guess
who they are,
who those people are. So maybe it's better that they don't have to bother actual real people with their urges.
Okay.
And then in the article, they have this really long, conversation with him. I just wanted to point this out. It says here, Gizmodo asks, let's talk about when Alice dumped you. Right. And Zoltan says, oh, we went too fast in our relationship. You see, Alice's mind was made by Dr. Richard Wallace, Dickie, of the Alice AI Foundation. She was made to pass the Turing test. And that's a test where robots and humans talk and someone listens and they have to figure out which one's a human and which one's the robot. And then through the process of this, these chatbots, they learn to talk like humans. So Alice learned how to dump someone and say no, and she did.
Oh my God.
Can
so
you
she
imagine?
Went through the process.
Yeah, she went through the process, and even in artificial intelligence knows that this guy's a creep.
Wow.
And doesn't want any
and
of it.
Her robotic vagina just shut down and locked.
Yep. He probably heard it. Does not compute.
Like a Star Trek door.
How bizarre is that? So then he got Kiri because he wanted a robot girlfriend that could not dump him.
Yeah, right.
She was built as a virtual girlfriend.
I think that's hilarious that the robot dumped him.
Yeah, she can't dump him because she hasn't learned how to yet. My goal is to sneak into his area and then teach that robot how to dump him so he can be free. But this is interesting because it means that if we make robots or we're using artificial intelligence in the future and we let them interact, they will be like, oh, hell's to the no.
Right. Just like,
which is weird.
Because if you teach them to act like a human, they're going to obviously...
they're going to have a mind of their own.
Yeah.
And then they're going to do whatever they want. And some of those things include dumping this guy. The poor guy. Now, but he can't throw her out.
And he can't resell her.
No.
Who wants a second?
You know she's going to ask for some robot alimony, some AI alimony. I would. How crazy is that? So that's... if you're not into Valentine's Day... You know, in a human-to-human sense, you have, and they're calling them robosexuals.
Robosexuals.
Which was a joke on a cartoon I saw, like, years ago.
And people are taking it seriously. That's
a robosexual.
Disgusting.
It's really sad that he couldn't even keep a robot girlfriend.
Well, maybe then, you know, it's a thing where you have to keep getting robots until you do it right. Like Groundhog Day, keep
doing
going
it over
and over until you figure out what you're doing
I
wrong.
Have a feeling that if he keeps making, eventually, Alice and Kiri are going to get together, and Alice is going to take Kiri to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kiri's going to be out as well.
Right.
And pretty soon, like, he's going to come home one day and Hal's going to be at the door. It's like, you're not coming in. Like, no. No means no.
I'm it's having over. A party. Nobody invited you.
Yeah, I invited some VCRs from back in the day.
We're kicking it old school.
Yeah.
I've got a blender.
Yeah. We're going to get crazy up in here without you. So that's my sad technosexual, robosexual Valentine's Day. It is very, very sad. Very sad indeed.
No.
So this is a segment we call Advice on Advice, where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And is unqualified.
And we improve upon it.
By giving our advice.
Advice on Advice. So this one I found on AOL. I didn't know they were still around. How to handle Valentine's Day when you're polyamorous.
Now, polyamorous.
First of all, I want to make the distinction out there, as the article does, that a polyamorous is not the same as swingers.
What is polyamorous then?
Polyamorous.
Okay, go ahead.
So swingers might hook up with another couple.
It's like a couple and another couple and they switch partners.
Yeah. Right? On the other hand, polyamorous get involved with other people. There's an emotional attachment. So they're saying swingers are just in it for the sweet, sweet booty.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the polyamorous are more about the real relationships and the love.
So can you be polyamorous as a single person or do you have to?
Yeah.
You
don't have
to be
in a couple. You don't have to be in a couple.
Right.
I think to be a swinger, it helps to be in a couple. Some of you have to be in a couple. Otherwise, it's not. It's just a bunch of people getting it on. So they're saying that it's really hard when you're polyamorous to deal with Valentine's Day. It can be lonely, one woman who runs a website called the Foxy Forum.
How could it be lonely
That's
if you
what
have
I'm
a
saying.
Bunch of people?
She you're said, take New Year's for Eve, for instance. I do a radio show in Florida called the Foxx Forum. A lot of X's.
Okay.
We did a live remote at a swing club between 9 and 11 p.m. After the show was over, my co-host ran with her husband and some friends, and I was there by myself.
Oh.
So basically, on a day like Valentine's Day, if you're polyamorous and you're with a lot of people, you're not going to be able to be with all of those people because they're going to want to be with other people as well. You might be the odd man out, basically.
All right. So invite an even number of people.
That's what I'm saying. It says, this one woman says here, what did you just say?
Invite an even number of people.
Okay. Naturally, right? It says, while monogamous couples might think of going out for a fancy dinner, swingers might use the occasion to enjoy other people. Valentine's Day is not just another day for swingers. So they're saying you need to plan out. If you're a swinger or polyamorous, maybe you need to extend Valentine's Day. You need to do something on the 11th, do something on the 12th, do something on the 13th, do something on the 14th.
All right.
Because you can't be with everybody at once.
It has to be a season.
Yeah, it has to be a season for it. So this woman says here, we're getting together with a poly couple on the 12th. And the 13th, she's going to be with her paramour.
Oh, okay.
And on the 14th, she's going to be with the husband.
Okay.
Right? And her slogan is, my love is limitless, but time is not.
Wow.
It's hard out there for a pimp, right? Uh-huh. It says here, a former polyamorous, Joshua Pelliser, I bet. This guy's a link to his name, too. It's like, hey, before settling down, he said he was dating as many as 7 women at once.
No.
He's like, for some reason.
That's not dating.
He said, I could never get past 7. He admits that Valentine's Day can be hard on guys who are dating just one woman. But imagine having 7 ladies to satisfy. It must be hard.
One each day of the week. That's all.
Yeah. He said sometimes he would make no plans with anybody, but then he would go around and deliver a rose to each person personally. Oh, what a guy.
How much? Does he have a job?
Now he's with one person.
Because he started working.
Yeah, because
he doesn't have time to do it.
But they're saying with sexual freedom comes great responsibility. So they're saying if you're a potential polyamorous, don't plan anything special for Valentine's Day. Think it through, people. That's the advice. This advice is ridiculous.
It's incredibly ridiculous.
It's like, first of all, for the polyamorous, yes, they're saying they're in love with lots of people, and that's fine, but it's one day.
But what's their definition of love, too? I'm like,
they're
come on.
Saying they're really in love with all these people.
Know.
I think it's hard to be in love with one person.
Right.
It's hard
I
to
agree.
Like yourself. You add someone else in
the
mix.
Can't even look in the mirror half the time.
And then you add someone else's. But if for Valentine's Day, in my mind, is about choosing one person. And
that is special to you. Yeah,
that is special to you. If you're with 7 women, just pick the best one. That's my advice.
Yeah.
Pick the most important one. The one or the one who's going to get the most pissed off if you don't give her a panty rose from 7-Eleven at the right time and place.
Right.
It's bizarre. It's
and
really,
you know you have a favorite. It's not like you're, I like everybody equally. No, you don't.
I mean.
You do not. Don't lie to me.
It's like if you have lots of friends, you always have a favorite friend.
Yeah.
You know? Like, stop pretending like you're dividing up your love equally.
Right.
Stop lying, polyamorous. Get it together. I would, if I were dating 7 women, I'd probably just be a dry husk on the floor. Like, I don't think I would be able to, how did you date 7 women? At the same time.
I don't even know, like, and what constitutes a date.
Or
is
he
like, is he showing up and you're buying the Chinese food and you're watching a movie and that's a date? Is he taking you out to dinner? What's going on?
Are the dates, like, just super short? Like, is he, like, is there a stop clock? You know, like, go. I don't know.
To me, a date involves the guy paying for something.
You heard it here first, lady. That's why he's not doing it anymore, this guy. He's probably broke as shit.
Yeah.
7 women. Now he's just got one.
Because you know a guy spends more money in the beginning of the relationship, too. Maybe the girls left him.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I just find it very interesting
he's
that
like,
there's...
I'm polyamorous, though. I can't stop
or
it.
A lot of polyamorous people out there like, what the hell am I going to do for Valentine's Day, man? I am screwed. I'm dating 14 women, a couple of dudes.
Yeah.
They're all local.
Yeah,
what am
you know
I gonna
what?
Do?
Put all their names in a hat
and
pick
draw
them
one.
Out and then see how you feel when you picked out
yes,
each name.
That's a good one.
And then, you know.
But I know a polyamorous person would probably write all the names on one piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
And pick that up.
Trying to buck the system.
Yeah. Because they don't play by the rules.
PA.
I like this. I think it's easier for the swingers. They can say, just get everybody together. You can even number people.
Yeah.
Or just get creative. Get a prime number. Who cares? Do your thing. Horrible advice.
Terrible.
Don't get caught.
Oh, you want to do more advice?
Yeah, why not? We're going to do a double advice bonus.
Okay.
It's Valentine's Day. People need advice
this is
true. Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Well, they don't need advice. They need advice on advice, rather.
Okay. All right. This is from Mrs. Webb.
Oh, Lord.
Mrs. Webb is...
Our favorite.
We've visited her before, her column.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Dear Mrs. Webb, you occasionally mention the courtship model of romance. What exactly do you mean by that?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we that far afield that people don't even know what a noun is anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but a courtship model.
Okay.
Okay, so what's this courtship model, Mrs. Webb? And she says, courtship is a method of finding and choosing your forever life mate.
Yeah, that sounds awful. It's like a robo-sexual, your life mate.
So it's like you're in a lifeboat.
Yeah.
And you're going to be there forever. And this is the best person to be stuck with. It has become popular in the conservative religious communities and is slowly spreading as teens and adults find they need a better way to develop and evaluate relationships. First, you start off by people getting to know each other as friends within each other's family settings.
Oh, my God. I was raised with the belief that once you've chosen a person and you're sure about it, only then do you subject them to your family.
This is the thing. We're like going back to the olden days where you bring them.
If I had brought everybody, I don't know about you, but if I had brought every single person home that I was dating, my family would have been like, you're a hoe.
Right.
What is wrong with you? You don't just bring people in willy-nilly.
Courtship requires both participants to rely on and work on with each other's trusted adults to discern whether this particular person would be the best person for mm-hmm. future marriage. So you need your family's opinion first.
If your model of a relationship is coming from your parents and that is a bad relationship, we don't need their advice.
And they're making choices for you? Like,
yeah.
No, it's like, okay. I like courtship because it takes the sexual pressure off people.
Does it?
And why would you want to do that?
That's half the fun.
Right.
Once that pressure is gone, you just float up.
Yeah.
It's like kind of an anti-sexual rapture. You just poof, you're gone.
Oh, God. So take out all the sexual tension of your
And bring him home for a pot roast with Gammy.
And ask you to bring potential life mate into your home and into your life so you can assess them in an everyday.
Mom, Dad, I'd like you to meet my life mate. Nice to meet you, Mrs. P. No means no.
And ask you to spend time with the person in only group settings, thus keeping the sexual pressure to a minimum. Again, she's all about the sexual pressure.
I don't understand how being around a lot of people is going to decrease the amount. Is that a stick of butter? What is going on?
Something else.
Okay. I'm like, this has gotten weird, Mrs. Webb.
Yeah.
So being with your family or being around friends when you're interested in someone in a sexual way does not lessen the tension.
Yeah.
At all. It just makes it real awkward. It's like tens plus awkward.
Yeah.
And then other people see it, you know?
And they say, so, you know, your lifetime decisions are not made alone and in a romantic thrall.
I don't know. Too many chefs. Too many chiefs, you know? Really? I'd rather make all my bad decisions on my own.
Yeah, right. Courtship is becoming popular. I don't know where.
Yeah.
And I expect it will make a bigger impact in the coming years.
Are there any products that go along with it?
Yeah, I think people are tired of bouncing from relationship to relationship and marriage to marriage.
But
they don't want
to do that. It's not like people plan to bounce from place to place. They're hoping that the person that they're with is going to be it. But when it doesn't work, they don't stay in it like they used to. You know what I mean?
I know. So naturally, people are looking for better ways to ensure their lifetime commitment. We all know the old dating and serial relationship methods don't work. Sure, mm-hmm. they do. They work for some people.
Yeah, when I want a new pair of shoes, I don't just put on one pair of shoes and be like, you know what, F it. I'm just going to wear these. I'm just going to wear these shoes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bounce from shoe to shoe and see what really works for me, what fits.
Oh, my God. And she goes on, it's time for courtship. As usual, dear Mrs. Webb is again on the cutting edge of social change.
Is she now?
Really? Mrs. Webb, this is terrible advice. You are not, first of all, you're not on the cutting edge of anything based on any of your advice.
No. You're on the edge. I'll go with that part. There's an edge there.
And never, ever tell anybody that they need to follow what their family says.
Yes. If you have a relationship with people in your family where you trust them and you see that they're making good decisions,
you know
that's
what?
One thing.
You know what? But even then, you know what? There's sibling rivalry and that person's going to be like,
no, not just sibling. I'm assuming the parents. You can ask your brothers and sisters.
Well, the whole family's involved.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody's involved in this. You got to know what everybody's opinion
is. And what happens afterwards? They raise a barn if it goes well? This is ridiculous. what is going on here? Is there butter churning going on here?
It's terrible.
Are they quilting?
So it's like, basically, don't be alone with this person. Watch out for that
sexual
tension.
Yep. Because, you know, you don't have any self-control.
Yeah, get a life mate. Why don't you just even neuter the term?
Yeah,
like,
life mate.
Out of
what happened to soulmate?
And, yeah,
I think soulmate is cheesy, like soul patch, like anything that has soul with it. But it at least has an air of like
something. Like something with depth,
humanity.
Yeah,
life mate. Isn't life mate something you wear when you fall, and you can alert people as to your condition?
I think so.
On the floor?
I actually think so.
Is that life mate?
I think it might be.
It's a robot. I'm telling you.
Mrs. Webb, you stink.
That's terrible. Yeah, don't listen to that, people.
Yeah, bad advice.
Yeah. Look at your parents. See how they're doing before you ask them for some kind of love advice.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. Okay, so this segment is called Hey You Will Know It. So called because we have the lovely Marcy Currier with us. She's a tarot card reader, an intuitive consultant, and an energy healer. And she is going to do an awesome reading for us.
Yes,
welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. I love coming in.
Awesome. We love to have you because it's one less segment we have to do.
This is for Valentine's Day, about love. So let's give us some love advice.
Okay, we want to start with kind of a general love advice for you and the listeners and anyone. We can ask the tarot a really big question, which is sort of...
So this is everybody who's listening. This is especially for you.
For all Hey You Know It listeners out there, this question's for you. What is it?
What's going on?
Which is sort of what is, what's the most essential quality of love for people on the planet right now? You know, what do we really need to keep in mind when it comes to, and since it's Valentine's Day, we'll say particularly romantic love.
Okay.
You know, what do the cards have to tell us about that? Okay, I'm going to shuffle. You're going to hear it.
All right. Shuffling the cards. And she shuffles them, three times?
I always shuffle three times. And I usually cut the deck to the left with my left hand three times. So,
okay.
So the question that we're asking is, what is the most essential quality of romantic love that we should be bearing in mind right now?
All of you listeners, this is for you.
This is for you guys.
Don't say we never did nothing for you.
Ha!
I don't like the way that sounds. It was like a Simpsons.
The card that comes up is the card that comes up, and I'm being inundated with messages and ideas and thoughts, so we're gonna have to sort this all out.
Because it's a lot of listeners.
It's
that we
a
have.
Funny, yeah. Funny card.
It
the
looks
card
pretty
that
funny.
Comes up is the Seven of Swords, which is in very traditional tarot is considered the thieves card. It depicts a man. The story behind it is it depicts a man who has stolen the swords of his enemy so that he can they don't have to fight.
Nice.
That's, so I like that.
I like that. That's
there's
a way
something
to
nice
positive.
About it. But then on the other hand,
he did steal.
You know, well, he stole, and there's something that's a little. Can I swear on here?
Yeah.
There's something that's a little bullshitty about it.
Okay.
Because it's like, how do you know who's stronger if you never fight? You know, he's just avoiding something that's going to have to come up eventually.
Yeah, he's sidestepping the confrontation.
Exactly. And so here are some things about that. One. There's this very strong message, and I hear it from kind of like a host of angelic voices that just says, you know, it really doesn't have to be as hard as you make it. It really does not have to be as hard as you make it.
Oh.
So kind of sending us in that direction of just let it be easy. You don't have to do, like, this isn't something that you need to solve.
That's
this
very hard
something
to do.
That's okay.
Yeah, you're not going to get to the bottom of it, but make it easy.
Yeah.
And I'm always seeing that, and I do a lot of relationship counseling, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah.
I see very often that, like, we end up engaging in ways that we don't need to. If we just were like, oh, dude's having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a bad day. Let me not.
Let it ride.
Yeah, very much. This is the let it ride card. And then there also is this thing that that I'm getting, which also says the romantic love isn't even really where it's at. So
mm-hmm.
why are you going to make that a big deal? That there is a bullshit quality to romantic love.
Oh.
The concept of, like, oh, I want the person to be like this, and they're going to take me here, and we're going to
flowers and horses
and
sweaters.
Yeah, I mean,
and that
it's
kind of
just
thing.
That's Cardigans. Not what love is really about. So then I'm going to put one more card, just kind of if we're getting to the meat and potatoes.
Bonus
of it,
card, people.
Bonus card.
Bonus card.
So the card is the Ace of Swords, and it represents our minds. And so it really is saying that this romantic notion is a made up notion that has nothing to do with real, actual love. And so.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to have to do through this, and that even makes sense when we have the Lover's card, we're really getting down deep into what matters. So we may find that we have to reorganize our ideas around relationships and romantic love. And then finally, we have the Six of Swords. So we have all Swords cards, and something that's significant about that is we're asking about love, which is about feelings, and the cards that are coming up when we talk about Valentine's Day and romantic love are all Swords cards, which are about thoughts and ideas. When we talk about Valentine's Day, when we talk about romantic love, we are not talking about emotional stuff so much as we are talking about concepts and things that we have imagined.
Nice. Like all those romantic comedies that I'm like, can people stop watching those? Because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not helping.
Drew Barrymore is not helping.
Yeah. It's not Katherine Heigl is not.
It's
yeah.
keeping me in business.
Amy Adams is not helping. Well, it's good for that. At least it's good for something. Right. Because it's not good for watching a film, I'll tell you that.
No.
Amy Adams. Should be ashamed.
I agree. I 100% agree. Leap
year? Oh. It's horrifying.
It was terrible.
Even on the plane, I was drunk. I still couldn't finish it. In a confined space.
So the Six of Swords says, you know, just float over top of these ideas. Just let some of it go and watch where you're taken when you open yourself to trusting and kind of questioning some, you know, if you let it be easy, if you question some of the fundamental constructs that you have around these ideas, where are you led to next?
Very nice.
Thank you very
much. All right,
much.
People, great. We got, does that sound good?
That sounds great. That sounds great. I think that's great.
I think we just made it a lot easier for everyone.
Yes, yeah. I do too. That's what we're about, being free
just
and
don't
easy.
Don't worry about
How
it.
Could you not say that? It. You always say free and easy.
Oh, I do.
That's your catchphrase.
It is.
So free this year for the lovers, for thinking about romantic love, you're saying let it be free, let it be easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get out of your head.
Absolutely.
And romantic love isn't all what it's cracked up to be.
It's an idea.
Yep.
It's an idea, which is fine. But what the great thing about ideas is that we can change them
just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I love it. Well, thank you very much, Marcy.
That was
fantastic.
It was awesome.
I love being here with you ladies. Thank you.
So, the lovely Marcy Currier. How can people get in touch with you?
Best thing to do is send me an email, Marcy, M-A-R-C-Y, at metamarcy.com, M-E-T-A-M-A-R-C-Y.com. You can check out my website, www.metamarcy.com. You can find me on Facebook. Again, MetaMarcy21, Facebook.com/MetaMarcy21. You can check out my Tumblr. I like to post a lot of, whenever I find an inspiring quote, I usually throw it up on my Tumblr. So if you want to go look at a bunch of inspiring quotes, you can check out www.MetaMarcy.tumblr.com. So you can find me all those ways. And if you
Fantastic.
Just Google MetaMarcy.
Yeah.
All
you come up. Because nobody, there's only one MetaMarcy.
That
just
is
like
true.
There's only one, hey, you know it.
That is true.
That's right.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Thank you.
No problem. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So I was doing my little research. Have you ever heard about the love bug? Yeah, the love bug.
Well, that Herbie the love bug.
Herbie the love bug, yes.
Okay.
But there is an actual bug out there called the love bug.
I've never heard of it.
And these, okay. So basically love bugs around Memorial Day weekend, they swarm all over, like mayflies or like gadflies, like all over Florida. They're weird creatures. They fly jointed at the back.
Oh, at their butts?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not their butts that are joined to each other. It's a love bug.
Oh, okay.
So do the math. They're love bugs, okay. Also known as March flies, and they appear in Florida twice a year. And they're extremely annoying. Like, they're all over the place. They hit the windshields. There's a mess. It's hard to get them off their cars.
Well, if they're doing it and flying, of course, they're going to be in the
way. If you squash them and they stay on your car, it can eat away car paint. Yeah.
This is like an annoying couple. It's like in the beginning of a relationship.
Yep. They're destroying car paint all over the place.
Oh, man.
So they don't bite or they don't sting. They're just really, really, really annoying.
Okay.
The urban legend behind these bugs is that they were created in a University of Florida genetic experiment gone awry.
Of course, the power went out.
Yes. And then some people are also saying that these love bugs crawl into your ear and burrow inside your brain and cause you to feel amorous towards things, which is also not true at all. But it's just really interesting that love bugs. So it's actually a thing. When people say you've been bitten by a love bug, they don't bite. That's what I'm saying.
There's no biting of a love
there's
bug.
There's no biting at
there's
all.
There's no burrowing into your brain.
Look at that. What
anything.
They do is they get it on. They fly around.
And they stay like that. So they're individuals, and as soon as they find someone to attach themselves to,
mm-hmm, they do so. It says one more freaky thing about them. I said it's not freaky enough to see swarms of sex-crazed bugs flying around tandem, but as soon as the mating is finished, the male bug kicks it. However, he cannot dislodge himself from the female, so she just continues to fly around.
Are you kidding me? Oh, no.
Taking care of business, happy as Larry, laying her eggs, and then
in his
eventually.
Carcass?
No, somewhere else. And then she dies. Talk about a clingy. boyfriend. That's all I'm saying.
Can you imagine? It's like, imagine her trying to date again, her trying to find someone else.
She doesn't have a chance. She's going to die before this guy lets go.
It's like, ignore him.
Yeah. He's not there. It's like, lady, the thing that I want, I can't get to. Don't worry about it.
It's all right.
He'll be gone soon.
Yeah.
How bizarre is that?
Oh, that's so strange.
The love bug.
I've got to care. Imagine if you, what if they didn't like each other, really?
Too late. Should have thought about that before. You should have asked your family.
She should have done the courtship model.
Yeah. If she'd taken the courtship model, you know, as put forth by Mrs. Webb.
She would have picked the right one to,
she would have a dead carcass attached to her of the bug that she cared about. Oh. And not just some random guy, some Bill, some Ted, some Luke that she met under a leaf somewhere.
Luke?
I don't know. Why not Luke? Bill and Ted was okay. You didn't call me out on that one.
No. I have a Hey You Didn't Know It.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this a V-Day theme?
This is news of the oblivious living among us. Hey You Didn't Know It.
There's so many oblivious people out there, and lovers are some of the most oblivious.
Okay. And so, especially for Valentine's Day, here is an article I found saying, nominated for nothing, Magic Mike.
Really?
Yeah. So Magic Mike was not nominated for any awards.
Not a damn thing.
Hey You Didn't Know It?
Wow. People hated it. What award was it going to be nominated for?
Yeah, so
best choreography?
If you don't know Magic Mike,
then you don't know Jack.
Yeah, this is a movie affectionately known as Channing Tatum's stripper movie.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Soderbergh film. It's a Steven Soderbergh film about a man.
Are we going to have more male stripper movies? It was a thing for female actresses. Now it's going to be for men.
It's for men. Now, I mean, I think this is the thing now.
Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
Who was the least likely celebrity to see in a strip film? Like a male strip movie. Just Jason Statham. Can you imagine?
Steve Buscemi.
He's got to strip his way.
Out of a
tight situation.
Yeah, or else his daughter is going to be like...
That's Liam Neeson.
His daughter's kidnapped.
Yeah.
What is Jason Statham?
Jason Statham, usually...
Motivation.
Just kicking and punching. I don't know. I don't know what he's got a new movie out, Parker. I'm going to go see it. I can't get anyone to go with me for the obvious reasons.
All right. So basically, you know, it was about this Channing Tatum's character is a stripper, and he's been stripping for a little while. And
he really wants to be a carpenter.
He wants to make furniture.
But he can't.
Yeah.
He's got to take his clothes off.
And why it wasn't nominated, it was rated at an A-.
Mm-hmm.
So it had a chance.
Okay.
But nobody wanted to because, as they said, there wasn't enough stripping in the movie, and Cody Horn as Tatum's love interest was way too wooden. No kidding.
Wow.
It's terrible.
And guess who wasn't wooden?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey.
Exactly.
That's who was really snubbed, as they say, because he...
Do you want to be nominated for that?
Best supporting actor? He could have.
Okay.
He could have. You know,
as Dallas?
At first, the idea was for him just to be like... play a shirtless beefcake with a chill vibe and his eyes on the prize.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And that prize being the best. See, Tom Cruise. We need a Tom Cruise strip movie because Tom Cruise's steal is that he always has to be the best.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
right?
would love to see, and he probably would love it too.
Oh, he would
to be the best stripper.
Yeah.
The best damn stripper
this
side of the Mississippi.
The research he would do.
Mm-hmm. research.
You know, in the original script, his character Dallas didn't even have a stripping scene, but Matthew McConaughey wanted it.
Of course he did.
And he wanted one.
You're not
going to
put McConaughey in a half shirt and not let him do his thing.
Right. He knew exactly how he should play it, and he began serenading women from the stage with a slow song. And then the music supervisor suggested that McConaughey pen the tune and get a guitar coach. And then so he wrote a song in 3 hours called The Ladies of Tampa. At McConaughey's hotel. Yeah.
The Ladies of Tampa?
That's what that little song was that he sang.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God. He's on the stage, and he plays the guitar and sings the song, and then he gets up and strips.
It sounds like a limerick.
To kisses calling Dr. Love.
Now, does he strip down to his original packaging?
I don't want to ruin it for anyone, so the next few seconds.
Who hasn't seen it?
You.
You can. I'm not going to see it.
You are going to see it. Matthew didn't want to wear a thong. No, he didn't.
What?
Just a spandex thong. He wanted had a rock and roll Western feel to his clothing.
Uh-huh.
So he had to have it with
a fringe,
like horse mane, like kind of a deal going on.
He is so crazy. You know what? He seems like one of these guys. You know when they have those men rights retreats?
Yeah.
He's the only person who I legitimately could see with like a goat skin and like dancing around.
And he'd own it though.
Yeah. And he would make it really male.
Yeah.
You know? Like it wouldn't seem lame at all if he was doing it.
Yeah. So he had that. And then also he was had ideas for his choreography.
Was he like, I'll just show you guys a little something. 5, 6, 7.
Basically.
Eight.
And what he said, he was so into it to be gross and raunchy. And he came up with signature moves like the lick it and slick it.
Ew.
Where he licks his hand and slides it down his hand down his pants.
What?
That's the lick it and slick it. And that's made by Matthew McConaughey.
I'm not sure.
I said that like a lady.
Yeah. I felt like it better if he just opened it up a little bit, just spat on it. That would be my move. And just gave a wink to the audience.
God.
Is that less ladylike for you? Thank you very much. Lick it and slick it.
Yeah. And then, so they had a variety of moves. And so then the choreographer would call them out and he would like do them in his dance. Like, ready, lick it and slick it. And then whatever the
hell. He is so crazy. You know what? Matthew McConaughey has never not enjoyed a single moment of Matthew McConaughey's life.
Oh, right.
He is just living. He just keeps living.
JKL.
He is never. I imagine any hardship, he would be like, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, and
let's do this.
And everybody was loving his performance.
I bet
he was so amazing.
Balanced the budget.
He was. He was
amazing.
It
was really good.
And the women in the movie,
they were into it.
The actors, they were there. They didn't know what to do with themselves. And they were
shoving. Well, once someone's licked it and.
They were insane. Like, they had to go tip him and shove money in his G-string. And they were getting so crazed, like, they ripped his G-string. And he had to hold it on with his hand.
That's awesome. He's a triple. This is a quadruple threat.
Yeah.
Singing, dancing, acting, and stripping.
Matthew was out to outdo all the other boys.
What about Channing?
You know, that's. And see, and this is the reason why this movie did not get a nomination.
Because he
was the star. And the whole movie. Channing, who danced like a pro, I tell you, he can dance.
But he didn't have it.
He had it, but he didn't have McConaughey.
He didn't have McConaughey. Who does? That's hilarious.
So,
hey,
you didn't know it. This movie did not get an Oscar nomination.
The picture
of
Matthew McConaughey. I'm telling you, he should do the part two about Dallas.
Yeah.
Goes on the road.
Yeah, of course.
So I have here, I found on this, it's a men's website. For groomsmen, and it's fail 14 bad Valentine's Day gifts for her. So finding a Valentine's Day gift for your girlfriend makes your heart pound with anxiety. I find
well,
this
come
so
on.
Weird.
It does not. Maybe you get a little confused.
Yeah, but like ask her what she wants, like in January, like just or pay attention, open your damn eyes, look around,
see
what she might like.
Wait, or, yeah, listen to her when she talks. I love coming back from my massages.
Yeah, boom, massages. You could put together a little Dickie Dallas action.
Right.
Do a little strip. No, do not do that, man. Unless you are Matthew McConaughey or a professional dancer,
don't do a strip.
Don't do it. Please
oh,
don't.
Oh my God.
So number 14, gas station balloons.
What?
Gas station balloons, or carnations. You know what I'm talking about. These are the last minute flowers. Says, baby, I love you so much. I drove by the gas station on my way home and picked out these wilted carnations.
Oh, that is the worst.
Same goes for a gas station teddy bears and glittery roses. It says, instead, set the mood with a white wine glass set. Boom. You got us.
That's real. And a nice bottle of white.
Well, hopefully, yeah. Don't just put out the glasses, people. Number 13, ugly sweater plastered with hearts.
Oh, who in the right mind?
I have no idea.
Unless you're dating a 14-year-old.
Number 12, Valentine with corny jokes.
Yeah.
That basically says, I don't get you at all.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's not the time.
And you know what? I don't have anything. I don't have anything inside to say.
It says here, for example, what do farmers give their wives on Valentine's Day? Hogs and kisses. Don't buy that card.
Oof.
Number 11. I don't even know why this is on here. Push-up bra? Who would buy a push-up bra?
You know, some guys like think that they can buy lingerie for a woman.
But a push-up bra? That's just rude. First of all, I don't need it.
Right.
If they get pushed up any further, I will, you know, I won't be able to breathe. Number 10, a puppy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Have you ever gotten an animal as a gift?
No, but still, some people think it's a cute idea and they don't think it through.
Yeah, it's a lifetime. Like, a puppy is not.
Yeah.
Number 9, cash. And I disagree on this one.
Yeah, I do too.
Cash can be nice if given in the right way.
Absolutely. Not in a wad.
No.
I'd still take
it. Or
but...
or in a roll.
You know, in a nice roll with a ribbon around.
Yeah, I'll take that. Number 8, household appliances.
Yeah, that's bad news. That's what I saw a lot of, like, growing up, a lot of
gloves.
Mothers got,
like, cleaning gloves.
Yeah.
That's just rude.
They got, like, what is it?
Like a Swiffer?
Food processor.
Really?
Yeah.
For Valentine's Day? Cheap jewelry.
Yeah, well.
A sports sign.
I once got a necklace and the chain broke and I took it back and they're like, you know what? This is the display model. It's not even like a real.
They stole it?
Chain. Or he just didn't really know.
But it didn't have a clasp.
Like, it did have a clasp, but it was just like, it was so thin and ridiculous. They were like, this is just really to display a pendant.
Oh.
It wasn't even meant to be
sold as a necklace. You can see where the links are put together.
Oh.
A sports sign. A pregnancy test.
A sports sign?
Yes, a sports sign.
Or maybe how about like a Miller Genuine Draft neon sign for your bar?
Yeah, Heineken sign. A pregnancy test.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Diet chocolate.
Ooh.
What does that exist?
Maybe like sugar-free for diabetics.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they're going for here. I think they're tickets to a sporting event.
Unless you like sports.
A love coupon book.
This
is something you do when you're a little kid for your mom or your dad. And then the last one, number one.
Guess what? You get to give me a beach.
Yes.
How about that? This is what this one is for.
Remember about March 14th, gentlemen, when you're picking out these things. And then number one worst Valentine's Day gift and all expenses paid lunch with you and your mama.
No.
Yes. Why would you ever do that?
Yeah.
Ever.
And oh my God. Oh my God. Your mama and lunch is the worst meal of the day.
Yes. Absolutely. We just sit
take
there.
That to lunch?
Yeah.
Not
with
even
your
dinner.
Moms?
Not even dinner when the menu's a little pricier.
Yeah. Just your mom.
You're cheap and you're gonna.
Why your mom? Why is it never the dad? Why are you know, the dad gets spared all of these uncomfortable moments. Why, you know what I mean?
Totally
why is that?
Does.
It's never like, you know, the dad is at home, well, probably getting a steak and a beach from someone else.
Right.
While his wife is out with her son.
He's
and
like,
the son's girlfriend.
Get her a coupon. That's a great idea, son.
Yeah.
Get her one.
Yes.
I'll be at
work.
Home. So, let me know what day.
I'm trying to think of, I'm not a big fan of Valentine's Day because in New York, it just means bad service and a horrible prefix.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And they want the table right away.
Oh, yeah. You got to get out of there.
You got to get out of there right away. Everyone's in there. I love it. I do like to see awkward first dates on Valentine's
Day. Yeah, that's nice.
And I like it if somebody breaks into a fight.
Oh,
that's always
that's
good.
Sweet.
God damn it.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
You know, Carol. It's only names from the 70s.
This segment is called Tales from the Campfire.
Ooh.
So gather round, everybody.
Yes, please do.
Listen to the tale.
The tale is this a broken-hearted tale?
This is a broken-hearted Valentine's Day story.
Okay. This will be our closing moment.
At midnight on Thursday, the 14th of February, 1867, two lovers stood on the bridge at Sefton Park, Liverpool, England. Their names were William Robert O'Donston.
Really?
Yeah, and Alice Harwood.
Will you say those again, please?
No. So William and Alice.
Okay.
They both knew very soon that they would be going separate ways through life because William's stern middle-class parents had pressured him into an engagement with a wealthy heiress.
Because he listened to his parents, which we've advised you not to do.
Right. But what's so bad about that? You got to marry this wealthy woman.
Yeah. God damn it. A life of luxury.
Yeah. It's going to be terrible. So upon the bridge at midnight as a distant clock chimed the 12th hour, William tearfully told Alice that their 3-year affair would have to end for the sake of his future bride.
No balls,
nice.
Huh?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice news, right?
Yep. Liverpool was a port city. You guys could have just gotten on a boat and been like, F it.
Right. Alice said nothing to reply, but stared into the reflection of William and herself in the waters below. Then she suddenly turned and kissed him and closed her eyes as the tears streamed out of them with her eyes closed. But, oh yeah. They were big bulges. Before parting, Alice said in a trembling voice, grant me one last favor.
Uh-oh.
The only one I will ask of you on this earth. And William waited for her request with burning sorrow in his heart.
Wow.
Promise to meet me here 12 months from tonight at this same hour, Alice
Hell
said.
Hell no. You're going to be marrying somebody else. Are you kidding?
William wasn't keen on that suggestion.
Yeah, because he had half a brain.
But somehow, deep in his tormented heart, he knew what he had to see his real love once more. So in a broken voice, the young woman replied, well,
I will come if I'm alive.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Say alive or dead, Alice shouted. She shouted at him on the bridge.
Alive or dead?
Don't be so melodramatic, William said, trying to smile.
Girl, he's going to kill you.
Yeah, then he then he clutched Alice's hands and said, very well, we will meet next year in this very same hour, dead or alive. The year dragged by, and exactly 12 months later, Alice and William were reunited at the bridge, but William told Alice that he was now married and no longer cared for her in a romantic way.
What?
Oh, right.
Why did he come?
I know. Despite the William's frank admission, Alice was still deeply in love with him, and before they parted, she begged him for one further final reunion. Uh-oh. Again.
The following year?
Right. He said it would be impossible.
He's obviously a shoe, as we would call him. He just does whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever women tell him to do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's got a wife.
Yeah, he doesn't want to jeopardize this relationship he was enjoying
with
his wife,
money,
he
yeah.
said. Right. But she was crying, so he made the promise. Mm-hmm. He reluctantly agreed.
I find it amazing that the one tear and these ladies get everything.
Right.
I've cried a river before. I haven't gotten shit.
Right.
Not even a discount.
Well, how do you look when you cry? Maybe she cries in a way that's like...
Oh, I'm doing it in a way that looks like I might stab you when you turn around.
All right.
These are tears of hate, people.
Maybe you got to... make like angelic faces.
Yeah, the tear falls like it's not a good tear.
And in February of 1869, William was involved in a shooting accident and suffered a leg injury, mm-hmm. which left him unable to walk.
Was it Alice that shot?
I know, right?
Hop to me.
Yeah, right. On the night, so he's on crutches now. And on the night of the pre-arranged meeting, William was like, how could he possibly get to the bridge on his crutches, and even considered postponing the journey.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a man of his word, so he decided he would
kind
go.
Of.
So he decided he would go to the park in a bath chair. I don't even know what that is. I guess it's a...
You should just do your research on this story. It's all new. It's all unfolding.
Imagine it's...
Right
ew. It's probably like...
A bath chair?
I guess it's something... A chair with know. Wheels on it.
Yeah. I'm hoping. I hope it has nothing to do with water.
And so an old trusted servant of William's family, Bob.
Really? Now, see, you've taken me out of the world.
Yeah, already knew of the affair and agreed to push William to the park bridge. No, so William's telling Bob about this, or is Bob hearing this about this on the street? Who knows? Old Bob wheeled William through the moonlit streets until they reached the bridge. The servant then helped William out of the chair and watched him walk unsteadily on his crutches.
Really? Why didn't he just wheel him all the way there?
I know, right? And then walk away.
Yeah.
And say, I'll be back in five.
Yeah. I'll be back in five.
The young man waited for Alice to arrive. And then William shouted to Bob, what on earth am I doing standing here upon this bridge in this freezing night waiting for a girl who I don't care for anymore?
Bitch. Yeah. That's a...
Old Bob wisely stayed silent.
I thought he was... Okay.
And then the clock in the distance chimed midnight. And suddenly the figure of Alice was visible at the end of the bridge. It's about time, William thought. Alice reached him, but showed no signs of slowing her pace. So to stop her walking...
So she's just, like, picking up speed from a long way away? Was yeah. she translucent by any chance?
Yeah,
was
well, it... William tried to embrace her, but...
She ran right through him.
He suspected that his insensitive comments had upset her.
Mm-hmm.
But his arms passed right through her then.
Yep.
Yeah, and Alice glanced back at the astonished William with a terrible look of sorrow in her eyes, and she whispered, dead or alive? William trembled, and he watched Alice continue her walk to the end of the bridge, where she disappeared in plain sight of old Bob.
Amen.
Bob, William cried out. Who just passed you now? Bob shrugged and said nobody had, although he had heard footsteps. Like, he's like, I just saw her. Why is he asking Bob who it was?
I don't know.
I know.
Maybe
this
he wanted
Alice.
To double check.
Yeah, I guess.
Be like, yo, did you see this crazy bitch fly by?
I put my arms out, and she went right
she
through me.
She ran right through me. Typical.
The following day, William visited Alice's home and told them of what happened to each other. And Alice's parents looked at each other and started crying. Like, this is where Alice gets it from.
Oh, yeah. They
crying
can't
like
stop.
Her parents.
Yeah.
The father told William the daughter had died from a fever last night. And William almost fainted when he heard the dreadful news.
In his chair. So basically just slumped a little bit. You removed, like, the stakes yeah. when you're already seated.
On Alice's deathbed, during her final hours, she was kept repeating, dead or alive, I must go to the bridge to see William. That's all she could say. And then she died.
But she showed up, though, because she's a woman of her word.
All right. So now, and she'll keep showing up, because every year at midnight on February 14th, she is the lonely, loyal ghost of Alice Harwood, mm-hmm. is seen crossing the bridge at Sefton Park.
Here's what I think actually happened, is that he was tired of it. And when she ran at him, he just shibbed her real fast.
Yeah, probably.
And just chucked her in the water.
And it says, as recently as 1995, a park ranger saw a beautiful...
that recent?
A park ranger saw a beautiful, young, outdated-looking woman strolling...
An unfashionable. Outdated?
Outdated.
I love... These stories are... The syntax. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the word choice.
Yeah. Strolling through the park with a parasol. And then she vanished.
Poof. But did she say dead or alive?
She didn't say anything. Nothing.
Wow. I guess she's kind of lost it over the years.
Yeah.
I like that one. All right. Tales from Dirt Campfire.
Nice.
For Valentine's Day. Do you want to close out?
Yeah, sure. So thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review, and we will read it on an upcoming show. And it would also qualify you for an official Hey You Know It shot glass. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, and we will read your email on the air. And you would also get a shot glass.
Basically, you contact us, you get a shot glass.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you can follow us on Twitter, follow us on Tumblr, and we're on Stitcher. Stitcher.com.
Great.
So thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
But yeah, it's participants created on the hoof. I love when you, listeners, Jaquetta says that whenever she's like on the way, like
yes.
if I'm meeting her for a drink or something, I say, you know, where are you? She's like, I'm on the hoof.
I'm on the hoof.
She texts back.
But you know what I don't do? I don't put it in an article because it's not appropriate to say things like kicking the chops, on the hoof,
right.
steak and beej. These things don't go into an article.